This program is intended for individuals who are blind or are unable to read physical print and is brought to you by CABVI's Audio Information Services team.
Hello, sports fans. This is Matt Olages bringing you the Monday morning Cincinnati Enquirer Sports Report for Monday, April 29th. First, your upcoming games. FCC plays Saturday at Orlando at 7:30 p.m. FC plays May 11th at Columbus at 7:45 p.m. And FC plays May 15th versus Atlanta at 7:30 p.m. The Cincinnati Reds play today at San Diego at 9:40 p.m. The Reds play tomorrow at San Diego at 9:40 p.m. And the Reds play again Wednesday at San Diego at 4:10 p.m. Coming up on the air, Major League Baseball, Minnesota at the Chicago White Sox, 7:30 p.m. on FS1. The Los Angeles Dodgers at Arizona, 9:30 p.m. on Major League Baseball Network. The Reds at San Diego, 9:40 p.m. on Bally Sports Ohio and 700 a.m. NBA Basketball, Eastern Conference Playoffs, Boston at Miami at 7:30 p.m. on TNT. The Western Conference Playoffs, Oklahoma City at New Orleans at 8:30 p.m. on NBA TV. And the Western Conference Playoffs, Los Angeles Lakers at Denver at 10 p.m. on TNT. NHL Hockey, Eastern Conference Playoffs, Tampa Bay at Florida, 7 p.m. on ESPN. And the Western Conference Playoffs, Dallas at Vegas, 9:30 p.m. on ESPN. Tennis, the 2024 Madrid Open at 5 a.m. on the Tennis Channel, and the 2024 Madrid Open again at 6 a.m. on the Tennis Channel. And now for your headlines. Well, the headline reads, "It was easy being green, but was Saturday's gem a sign of progress or another blip along the way?" In Arlington, Texas, these are the days that tantalize, that promise, that make all those people around Hunter Green keep preaching patience on all those other days that don't look like this one. Because when he's right, when Green pitches instead of hurls, like he did so well for so many innings Saturday against the defending champion Rangers in Texas, he looks like a $53 million ace, and the Cincinnati Reds look like a team with players that can win playoff games. The best pitchers who have ever played this game, they're not perfect, Reds manager David Bell said. That's really important to remember. When a start doesn't go your way or isn't perfect, how quick can you get right back after it and pick up where you left off? He's right on track. The bigger, continual question with Green and all that pitching talent that made him the number two overall pick in the 2017 draft has been, when a start like this goes his way, can he stay on the rails 5 days later and then 5 days after that? Green's 7 one-hit scoreless innings against the Rangers not only earned him his first win since September 10th, but it also meant he had back-to-back 7-inning starts for the first time in his career. He'd gone 7 innings deep only 4 times before this season, 2 each last season, and in 2022 as a rookie. Could these last 2 starts, when he seemed to rely more heavily on his fastball location and stayed out of big innings, be the kind of turning point the Reds and fans have anticipated since his touted debut? Maybe even part of a 3-week turning point that involves at least 6 innings pitched and 4 or 5 starts? I can't really answer that, Green said. My approach hasn't changed. It's not going to change. There's so many factors that go into coming out with a win. There's been times I've thrown no-hitters or one-hitters, and we still haven't won. Like that career-high 7 1/3 innings against Pittsburgh without allowing a hit as a rookie. A gem that turned into a 1-0 loss on his ledger after a pair of 8th-inning walks he issued led to the only run of the game on a grounder after he was pulled. It's baseball, man. Baseball's funny, he said. Baseball's really hard. Bell, the eternal optimist and player's manager, said he sees growth and signs, and just because his loyalties lean that direction doesn't mean he's wrong. The fact Green gave up early runs in two of those last five starts and still settled in to give the Reds six innings against the Mets and seven against the Phillies suggests a more veteran look than the last two seasons. You can get that. That can give you confidence, Bell said. You can take a big win from a day that might not be your best. So can the bullpen, and that's hard to overstate for a team with playoff aspirations. Even when things don't go well, he's handling it just right, Bell said. He's working on the right things, and if he continues to do that, we're going to see his talent take over, and he's going to be able to string consistent starts together. At 24, Green still is one of the youngest starting pitchers in the majors, especially among those who have been in an opening day starter. Saturday was only his 52nd start, and maybe it seems a lot to keep harping about the promised greatness and patience preached. But he's the only player on the roster under contract beyond next year. The club gave the six-year $53 million deal because of the promise of that ceiling. And days like Saturday, or those six innings of no-hit pitching at Wrigley Field in a win last June, or even that loss in Pittsburgh the year before, these are why the questions won't stop until the roller coaster does. We feel great about our pitching staff, and Hunter's a big part of that, Bell said. He just needs to continue to stay focused on what he's doing. He can't jump ahead, thinking too far ahead. That's what Green talked about, staying present, trying to win each time, learning to compete deeper into games more often with every start. Maybe this is a turning point. Maybe it's the same tease. But if it's a growth trend, consider a rotation that also has lefty Nick Lodolo back to health and dealing, and that runs six deep with sneaky good second-year Andrew Abbott, hard-throwing, hard-nosed Graham Ashcraft, and talented veterans Frankie Montas and Nick Martinez. If Hunter Green has found his inflection point to start stringing those starts Bell talked about, this starts looking like the kind of rotation that can beat teams in October, that can beat teams like the Phillies and Rangers. The main thing to be able to remember is when you see other playoff and World Series rotations, it's guys that have experience, Green said. That goes a long way. So I think a lot of people need to keep that in perspective, how young our rotation is, and the experience that we have is not much. But it's exciting because we're hungry to keep growing, to keep getting better. At least he didn't ask for any more patience. Notes. When Green gave up his only hit in Saturday's 8-4 win, it was a leadoff double in what was still a 3-0 game in the fifth. But he got a grounder, fly ball, and an exceptional play from shortstop Ellie De La Cruz on another grounder to strand the runner at third. De La Cruz charged a slow roller and threw across his body on the run to get speedy Travis Jankowski by a step. That was one of the best plays I've seen all year, said Bell, the former big league infielder. He made it look relatively easy, but charging and going away from first base, that was just a great play. Saturday also marked De La Cruz's 17th straight game without an error after committing four of his five this season in 1 week. Jonathan India matched a career high with four hits Saturday, including a two-run homer in the seventh. After finishing Friday's game with hits in his last two at-bats, he was 12-for-74, a 162 average this season before that. After a quick eighth inning of work, reliever Brent Suter gave up four runs in the ninth Saturday, snapping his scoreless streak at 14 and a third innings. And more from the Major League Baseball, here's your Saturday box scores. Minnesota beat the Los Angeles Angels 16-5. Seattle beat Arizona 3-1. Pittsburgh beat San Francisco 4-3 in 10 innings. Philadelphia beat San Diego 5-1. Cleveland beat Atlanta 4-2 in 11 innings. The Chicago White Sox beat Tampa Bay 8-7 in 10 innings. The Yankees beat Milwaukee 15-3. Houston beat Colorado 12-4. Detroit beat Kansas City 6-5. St. Louis beat the Mets 7-4. Washington beat Miami 11-4. Cincinnati beat Texas 8-4. Boston beat the Chicago Cubs 17-0. Baltimore beat Oakland 7-0. The Dodgers beat Toronto 4-2. And turning to Major League Soccer, Acosta is now club's all-time goals leader. After the final whistle and the confirmation of another historic moment in FC Cincinnati history, Luciano Acosta said he was unaware of his latest achievement for the club. Assuming he wasn't heaping on the modesty, you would have thought Acosta knew in the moment that his 43rd minute goal against Colorado Rapids gave him 44 scores for his FCC career, surpassing former teammate Brandon Vasquez for the club's all-time lead. As Acosta finished celebrating and his teammates pulled away to resume their positions for the restart, the reigning Major League Soccer's most valuable player kissed the FC Cincinnati badge on his jersey while facing TQL Stadium's south stand. Then he patted his heart. "I didn't come tonight intending to break another record," Acosta conceded after the match via an interpreter, "but I'm just happy about it, and I'm going to keep rising. I've said before I've wanted to make history with this club, and just going to keep doing that." Acosta's goal put FCC up 1-0 on the visiting Rapids, and it was the first of several memorable moments in what was ultimately a convincing 2-1 victory against the Colorado side that entered the match flirting with the upper echelon of the Western Conference standings. The win saw FC Cincinnati improve to 5-2-3 with 18 points and move into second place in the Eastern Conference with a game in hand on first place Inter Miami CF. Colorado fell to 4-3-3. "Really pleased with the overall performance," FC Cincinnati head coach Pat Noonan said in his opening post-match remarks. "I know maybe the scoreline, based on how I thought we played, wasn't as good as we'd like, but it's hard to be critical. The guys did a really good job of controlling large stretches of the game. With the ball, it was probably our best performance, just with the spacing and the ways we were able to attack." Acosta's goal was his fourth of the league season and his fifth across all competitions in 2024. The next FCC score was a long-awaited one. On the other side of halftime, Corey Baird doubled FC Cincinnati's lead in the 63rd minute. The tally ended a goalless drought for Baird that stretched back to preseason, included numerous close chances throughout the opening 9 matches of the season. Baird departed the locker room after the contest before reporters could reach him. Acosta indicated the club never lost faith in Baird, who scored 14 goals for 2023 Western Conference semifinalist Houston Dynamo FC and was a much-hyped off-season signing by Cincinnati. "I think Baird's been doing well," Acosta said. "The chances he had tonight, the chances he had last week in Atlanta, and we knew that when he got his moment, he was going to take one. I told him earlier this week to just keep pushing, keep going, and if that was going to come, hopefully it's the first of many." Moise Bombido put the Rapids on the board in the 72nd minute. The score might have been the result of an FCC letdown after Yuya Koba score was flagged for offside just moments earlier. The on-field ruling of an offside was then upheld on a field-side monitor review, which was historic as referee Sergi Bako made the first-ever stadium-wide announcement of the final decision. FC Cincinnati kept prodding and probing the Colorado back line, including over the 7 minutes of second-half added time. That proved an effective means to close out the victory. The attack's effectiveness for the second straight week was notable for the absence of Aaron Bupendenza, who entered consecutive games as a late substitute. Noonan said he was still confident in his designated player, striker. "In the moment, it's not different than any other player," Noonan said of Bupendenza. "You have starting moments. You have moments where maybe you're behind a guy. It's because of the performances of the players in your position. And then how's the team performing and are you winning games? He still has a very important role in our team." "Does it look a little different in the moment?" Of course, because we're accustomed to seeing him start games. My expectation is he continues to work hard in ways where, as the minutes continue to come and increase, he's ready to contribute. Defensively, FCC's only lapse that materialized in the form of a goal was on Bombito's tally, which came off a set piece. The rest of the game, FCC was putting its bodies on the line. They blocked 8 shots and used nearly 60% of the possession to deny Colorado further opportunities. Making his second consecutive start, goalkeeper Alec Kahn gathered one save as he improved to 2-0-0 on the year. Roman Celentano, with an ankle injury, didn't dress for the match and missed his third straight game. Noonan said afterward the club simply wanted to give him some more time to rest from the injury he sustained March 30th. After training with the goalkeeping group for the first time since sustaining the injury, Celentano is likely to be cleared to play in matches this coming week, Noonan said. Cincinnati's defensive effort was made more impressive by the fact that DeAndre Yedlin was forced to exit the match just 16 minutes after the opening whistle. Noonan, who inserted Brett Halsey into the game to replace Yedlin, described Yedlin's injury as a hip pointer ailment. And turning to the NFL draft, Fairfield's All is now in the Bengals family. The Cincinnati Bengals drafted Iowa tight end Eric All with the 115th overall pick in the NFL draft. All, 6'4" and 252 pounds, began his career at Michigan, where he played the 2020 to 2022 seasons. He transferred to Iowa ahead of last season. All suffered 2 significant injuries in his career, most recently an ACL tear in October and a severe back injury in 2022 that ended his season. Draft pundits say the biggest question about All's future in the NFL will be about his durability. Following the pick, All told local media that he suffered a herniated disc, and that's what forced him to miss the 2022 season, but has no issues with his back now. He also said he believes he will be ready to practice when training camp begins at the end of July. We're very comfortable with where he's at in his recovery and how he's attacking that, offensive coordinator Dan Pitcher said. We think he'll be able to contribute for us, and we feel good about that. All is a local prospect as he attended Fairfield High School and played on the varsity football team from 2016 to 2018. When head coach Zach Taylor called All to tell him he was being selected by the Bengals, All said he couldn't believe it as he was at Fairfield going through a workout while his family was in the fieldhouse for a gathering. "It is kind of surreal," All said. "I'm at my high school stadium. Everything kind of came back in a circle. I'm excited." All had 75 receptions for 864 yards and 5 touchdowns in his college career. Here's the scouting report. All spent 4 seasons in the Michigan program before transferring to Iowa. He got off to a strong start during his first season at Iowa, but suffered an ACL injury in October. Staying healthy has been an issue for All, who also suffered a season-ending injury in 2022. When healthy, though, All is a talented pass catcher. Round 5, Josh Newton, cornerback. The Bengals turned to cornerback Josh Newton with the 149th pick in the draft. Newton, at 5'11 and 190 pounds, has versatility and can play inside and outside. Newton started his college career at Louisiana Monroe before transferring to TCU. Newton was a first-time All-Big 12 selection in 2022, and second team All-Big 12 in 2023. He is a well-built cornerback who excels in press man coverage. Defensive coordinator Lou Anarumo said Newton's 33 tackles last year caught the attention of the coaching staff. He comes to Cincinnati with plenty of experience, starting as he started 58 games at the college level. Cincinnati was looking to add more cornerback depth ahead of day 3 of the NFL draft. With Cam Taylor, Britt, Mike Hilton, and DJ Turner all returning, this pick is more about depth in the cornerback's room. Newton was a team captain at TCU last season. "He plays inside, plays outside," Anarumo said. "He's had over 30-plus tackles in 3 consecutive years, at least 7 interceptions in his career. Great kid, great football instincts and awareness. I like everything about his game. Round 6, Tanner McLaughlin, tight end. The Bengals selected tight end Tanner McLaughlin out of Arizona with the 194th pick in the NFL draft. McLaughlin, at 6'5" and 244 pounds, started his career at Southern Utah before transferring to Arizona. Last season in 12 games at Arizona, McLaughlin caught 45 passes for 528 yards and 4 touchdowns. Round 6, Cedric Johnson, edge. The Bengals drafted edge Cedric Johnson out of Ole Miss with pick number 214 in the NFL draft. Johnson, at 6'3" and 260 pounds, gives the Bengals depth at the defensive end position. Johnson had 40 tackles, 5.5 sacks, and 1 forced fumble in his college career. Johnson was the best edge rusher on an Ole Miss team that finished tied for the 19 most sacks nationally last season. Don't take his sack numbers at face value. Some injury issues and aggressive rotation in the trenches from the Rebels mean Johnson got fewer opportunities than many of his peers. He's played in a handful of different schemes, too. The Rebels cycled through 3 different defensive coordinators during his time in Oxford. Round 7, Dejon Anthony, safety. The Bengals drafted Ole Miss safety Dejon Anthony with the 224th overall pick in the NFL draft. Anthony, at 6' and 190 pounds, began his collegiate career at Shepherd before transferring to Liberty. He then finished his college tour with the Rebels, where he led the team with 8 pass breakups and 3 interceptions. He had 60 tackles, 3 INTs, 1 forced fumble, 2.5 TFLs in his college career. Anthony made a habit of showing up in the big moments for the Rebels. 2 of his 3 interceptions came against top-level competition in Georgia and Penn State, and he was among the most impactful players on the field in the Rebels' victory over LSU last season. He plays the safety position with a downhill aggression that makes him an asset against the run game. Equally, he's no slouch in coverage. Anthony spent plenty of time at corner during his time with Liberty, giving him a versatile skill set that should make him an asset in both phases. Round 7, Matt Lee, center. The Bengals used their final pick of the 2024 NFL draft on center Matt Lee out of the University of Miami. Lee played at UCF before transferring to Miami. The 6'4", 301-pound Lee played 11 games for the Hurricanes while not giving up a sack all year. Lee is a shorter, smaller prospect compared to who we will line up across from in the NFL, but his pass protection speaks for itself, and he allowed his matchup to hit the quarterback just once in 11 games as a starter. He has above-average core strength and speed, which translate to effective pass protection and is rarely ever knocked off balance. He had some trouble in space, however, and could struggle against NFL athletes with length and power. His technique, hand placement, and quickness may help bridge that gap at the next level. More in the NFL, what the nation thought of picks, the good and the bad. The Cincinnati Bengals 2024 draft class is set. The Bengals opened the draft on Thursday with the selection of Georgia offensive tackle Amarius Mims, 18th overall, then finished the event Saturday with 6 picks. How well did the Bengals do? Here's what the national pundits think about the Bengals' latest draft haul. 2024 draft grades. Pro Football Focus, B+. USA Today, B. Sports Illustrated, B-. Pro Football Network, B-. Sporting News, A. The Score, B. Grade breakdown. There's a general consensus surrounding the Bengals draft as an overall boom or bust class. Whether it be from injuries or off-the-field concerns, Cincinnati picked multiple prospects that could be long-term producers for a franchise with Super Bowl aspirations or could not fail to pan out. It started right away with the first-round selection of Mims at number 18. Mims fits into a Bengals group of tackles that rivals some college basketball front courts with its height. Mims was borderline elite at Georgia in pass protection, 6 quarterback pressures and 402 pass blocking snaps, but the best ability is availability and he only has 8 college starts under his belt after needing season-ending ankle surgery in 2023. Some experts like that Mims won't have to start right away and has a year to develop behind veteran Trent Brown, who inked a 1-year deal in March. Others question if Cincinnati should have drafted someone who could help right away on a team in win-now mode. The Bengals added 3 pass catchers in the draft. All were picked with some precaution of national pundits. There's an overall belief the 3rd-round pick Jermaine Burton could be a franchise-changing wide receiver as an over-the-top threat if he can shed the maturity question marks that caused him to fall to the 80th pick overall. The best value pick of the draft, Pro Football Network's Cam Miller said of the pick. Burton enters the league with some character issues, but immense production upside with his explosive vertical skill set. At the tight end spot, Iowa's Eric All, a Fairfield High School product, is coming off torn ACL a year after needing spinal surgery. Arizona's Tanner McLaughlin needed core muscle surgery after his pro day and slid into the 6th round. Which picks did the experts like? The Bengals ultimately didn't trade up in the 2nd round despite a run on defensive tackles and eventually landed with Michigan product Chris Jenkins with the 49th overall pick. Jenkins, a team captain on the national champion Wolverines in 2023, is the son of Chris Jenkins Sr., a 3-time All-Pro defensive tackle. He has a PhD in playing defensive tackle from his father, NFL Network analyst Daniel Jeremiah said Friday after the pick. Pro Football Focus called Jenkins the pound-for-pound, the strongest player in the draft, who excelled against the run last season. On the offensive trenches, draft analysts like the Bengals' 7th-round snag of Miami center Matt Lee, who didn't allow a sack on over 400 pass-blocking snaps last season. Which pick did experts dislike? Multiple pundits agree the Bengals reached with their 3rd-round compensatory selection of Texas A&M defensive tackle McKinley Jackson. Jackson feels like a reach at this point, giving his inconsistent play, USA Today's Michael Middlehurst Schwartz said of the pick Friday night. NFL.com ranks Jackson as the number 22 defensive tackle in this year's class. And one more story out of the NFL. Brown's call was music to Bearcats Briggs' ears. The University of Cincinnati graduate with a degree in physics and music focus had to wait a few verses to hear his name called in the 2024 NFL draft. Finally, in the 7th and final round, Briggs was selected by the Cleveland Browns with the 243rd overall pick. When selected, the Browns brought up a thank you note Briggs wrote as one of their attractions to the massive man. It pays to be polite. Better late than never. By the time the draft ended, Briggs was putting his kids to bed for the evening. Still, he didn't mind the wait for a lifelong dream. For me, it wasn't tough at all, Briggs said. I've always had the mindset to expect the worst and appreciate the best. The worst would be not hearing your name at all. I was always preparing for not getting picked at all. To hear that news is nothing but a blessing. I'm floored about where I'm at right now. Cleveland may work. Briggs said his father is from Detroit and his mother is from Springfield. Cleveland could be a nice compromise. There's plenty of Bearcats up there, Briggs said. Of note, former Bearcat defensive lineman Antoine Peake spent time as a Brown. Peake currently has a son on the UC squad. Briggs now joins former Bearcats Jerome Ford, James Hudson III, and Justin Murray from Sycamore in Cleveland. From CPS to UVA to UC. After an all-star career at Walnut Hills High School, 2 seasons at Virginia, and 3 seasons, 2 coaches, and 3 defenses for the Cincinnati Bearcats, Briggs will now get his NFL shot. Said UC coach Scott Satterfield, I'm excited for Juwan and his family to realize his dream of playing in the NFL. I fully expect him to make an impact with the Browns because he already has carried himself like a pro for years. He has an outstanding work ethic and was a great leader for us. He's also one of the strongest players I've ever been around. I look forward to watching him play on Sundays. Briggs brings a combination of strength and maturity. He obliterated Big 12 Pro Day marks in the bench press by hoisting 225 pounds 42 times, though he eventually was only credited with 39, still best in the league. At a shade under 6'2" and 310 pounds, he overcame a non-invite to the NFL Combine by succeeding in the Hula Bowl and earning an invite to the East-West Shrine Bowl. Briggs Briefs. Briggs was a UC starter for Luke Fickell on the 2021 team that went unbeaten until the college football playoff semifinal in the Cotton Bowl versus Alabama. He was first-team American Athletic Conference, honorable mention Big 12, and a team captain for Satterfield's Bearcats this past season. Wise beyond years. Briggs is married with three children and won't turn 23 until September. In addition to his UC degrees, he's an accomplished singer and several notable performances, including a spot on ESPN's College Game Day. Briggs calmed himself Saturday morning by taking his wife to the Walnut Hills campus to throw a discus. It's yet another talent in his tool bag. Well, that's it for me today, sports fans. This is Matt Ologes, hoping you have a great week. Stay safe, and you'll hear from me again next Monday.